welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of the Demcast Network. I'm Kimberly Johnson in DC. Today, Jody Hamilton will be joining me, and I'm so excited. She's a regular on the Bob Seska Show every Thursday. She's also on Stephanie Miller every Tuesday, and she hosts her own podcast, From the Bunker. Oh yeah, she's also Carol Burnett's daughter, so that's fucking awesome. I can't wait to talk to her. I want to quickly tell everybody that for a while, I've been trying to figure out what to do with the $5 tier, right, for the patrons only. Sometimes I do patrons only, which is a dollar gets you in. But I've had a $5 tier where I used to do a show after the free show. And I'm going to change that up. I mean, I may do that from time to time for the $5 tier. But what I'm considering doing is 2 times a month right now to start, I'm going to kind of do like a diary of my life, like an online diary of my online life. But it's not just going to be online stuff like, you know, talking about experiences I've had dealing with other people on social media, or maybe talking about certain guests that I've had and just kind of going over interviews and going over my thoughts on them. There might be something like that. And then there are also going to be maybe stories from my past, whether it's work experience stories or relationship experiences, whether it's like romantic relationship with a man or relationships that I've had with girlfriends. And I think the thing that's going to tie everything together for the most part, it may not be every single show, but the thing that will tie it all together is that it'll be coming from my perspective as a woman, as a feminist. And I can talk about stories, you know, workplace experiences that are really funny. And I was telling Bob about some the other night and I thought, oh my God, I should do a podcast about this. So I can do those kinds of shows where I can explain funny, interesting situations that I was involved in, but I'm also going to be able to come at it from an angle of a woman and explain my experience and how I can, especially as a almost 52-year-old woman, go back and look at experiences I had when I was 35, and I can, you know, not only share them and the funniness or the sadness or whatever it is about that particular story, but kind of see it from the lens of a feminist and how it affected me. So I'm going to start doing that. And I'm going to start with 2 times a month. And then I'm going to see how that goes. And I'm not sure. I haven't decided. I just got this idea this morning, kind of last night, this morning. I may just do the first couple of shows for free and try to entice people to come onto the $5 tier. Or I may start an episode and then cut it off halfway through, make the first part free. And then if you want to be a patron, you have to hear if you want to hear the rest, you have to be a patron. So we'll see what I'm going to do, but I'm not sure. And then I also just wanted to say that, I mean, it might go up to 3 to 4 shows a month pretty quickly if it's really something that I love and people are responding to, but I'm going to just commit to 2 times a month right now. I will do one this month because I've already done a couple of patrons only shows this month. So I will do one. Now this leads me, frog in my throat. This leads me to Wednesday. On Wednesday, the guest scheduled is Liz Winstead, co-creator of The Daily Show. And she also runs Lady Parts Justice, which is a group that collects money for abortion clinics and stuff like that. So she's going to be awesome. And the reason she's here or will be here is because the Supreme Court is going to be deciding on an abortion issue on March 4th. And we're going to be talking about that. She's a fascinating woman, and I am really excited to have her as a guest. But here's the deal. She's a busy, famous woman. And whenever I announce people, like, I'm going to be interviewing so-and-so, oh, they usually have some issue with their schedule or something like that. And so we are supposed to go on at 5 p.m. Normally, I record the shows earlier in the day. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. And she may not, you know, because of schedule, she may have to postpone or cancel or something like that. So if that happens, I just want to make sure everybody knows there will be a show on Thursday. And I'm pretty sure, I'm not promising, it'll be by the end of this month that I'm going to do, you know, like the My Diary kind of show. I haven't named it yet. Maybe it'll just be like, you know, Dear Diary. But I will either do it this Wednesday during the day before Liz comes on, or, you know, I'll just do it sometime before the end of the month. So just wanted to catch you up on that. And the last thing I want to do, say before I go into pitching the show to you as a, you know, want you to be my patron. I did a show last Wednesday that I deleted, and I'm not going to really go into too much detail. If you are my patron, you got an email and you understand why it was deleted, but I had a guest on, and after the guest was on, I received a couple of emails about this particular guest that were not good. And I know that these, one included an article and one of the emails, and then another email was from somebody who told me some things, and I just decided that in light of this information that I did not know before, it was best for me to completely delete the show. I apologize for that. I certainly had no idea that that was going to happen, but it happened. So I deleted it and we're moving on. So, okay, Start Me Up is an independent podcast and it's woman run, and you're listening to the woman who runs it. Also, for the month of February, and we're almost done with February, I'll be donating 5% of the podcast earnings to Planned Parenthood. So if you like the show, please consider becoming a monthly subscriber. Please. At patreon.com/startmeup. You go there, you see all the tiers. I will be in the next few days updating the $5 tier to explain what I just explained to you. But I'm still kind of working it out in my head, so it'll come shortly. But, you know, if you sign up for $1 a month, that's only $12 a year. That's not even a movie. And you get every single show into your email box. So that's one benefit. And you can always upgrade later. Also, the more money the show makes, the more money Planned Parenthood gets. So that's win-win. I've already explained how the $5 show is going to work out from now on. So if you want to make a one-time donation, sometimes people prefer doing this. In the text of the Patreon description, I include how to pay me on PayPal. My email address is there. Some people like that better. Some people feel more comfortable just going, here's X amount of money. If you want to do that, great. If you want to sign up for $1 or $5 or $25 a month or whatever you feel comfortable with, every dollar helps go to the production of this podcast, and I am ever so grateful. Last, you can find Start Me Up on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever podcasts are found. I would really appreciate it if you would become a subscriber over on Apple Podcasts and give the show a positive review. I have not had a new review since November, so it would really be awesome if you could do it. It's free, and I know in some cases it's a little confusing, but if you just kind of play around on the site, you can find it. I have gotten some good ratings, however, so thank you for everybody who's done that. I've noticed and I appreciate it, and obviously my goal is to rise up on the charts in Apple Podcasts, so I am doing that slowly but surely, and that's because of you guys, so thank you, and that's it. I'm done. Please enjoy my conversation with Jody Hamilton. Welcome, Jody.
Hi.
I'm so glad that you're here.
I am too. I'm very excited. I get now the Kimberly of the Bob and Kimberly.
I know. Well, didn't we do one podcast together with him?
I think we did. Yes, we did. I believe it was a while ago.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun. And I mean, you know, whenever we do the after party, he has that soundbite of you when you were so frustrated and you were taking a drink and you're like, I'm like, play that one. That's how I feel. I'm always making him play that.
I think we were talking about Maggie Haberman or something, and she'd done something stupid, and I just took a swig of tab and I was like, no.
It's awesome. And I love it. Oh my God. There's so much going on today, and there's just like every day. I mean, Bob likes to call it the fire hose of news or whatever.
Yes.
But it's like every day, and I fucking hate this primary. I hated the 2016 primary, but this one is even worse. And it's just so horrible, and I don't even know where to begin. Like, we could begin, I don't know, where do you feel like beginning? We could talk about Weinstein, or we could head into the primary. What do you want to talk about first?
Why don't we go from the awful to the awful, and I don't know which is worse. Well, I mean, my question is, what is the delegate count right now?
Oh, you know what? I think I don't have that in front of me, but I remember saying, I think Bernie's at around 35.
Here we go. I have it right now.
Oh, okay,
so
perfect.
Far, 84 delegates out of almost 4,000, just for your listeners, have been declared. And at the moment, Sanders has a whopping 35.
Okay.
Pete Buttigieg has 24. Biden has 10. Warren has 8. Klobuchar has 7. And then that's it.
And Joe Scarborough thinks Warren and Klobuchar should drop out.
No.
And the reason why is because he, of course, there's this whole stop Bernie thing. And so why would he think Warren dropping out of the race would stop Bernie?
I mean, wouldn't she at all? Yeah, if anything, she's taking some of his votes away.
He's such a sexist. He fucking drives me crazy. Oh my God. But yeah, so okay. So the Bernie thing. Now, all of my, I don't know exactly where you stand on him. My listeners are familiar, but for anyone who's new to the show, my take on Bernie real quick is I voted for him in 2016. I was a staunch, you know, supporter. And then I voted for Hillary very enthusiastically. And then over time, I became like distrustful of Bernie. And the main reasons are he hired Tad Devine in 2016 to work on his campaign. And Tad Devine worked with Paul Manafort in Ukraine. So I don't understand this. It confuses me and upsets me. And then I don't like that he has referred to Russia as a distraction. And then I also don't like that he has hired David Sirota. And I'm not sure if I'm going to say her name correctly, but Brianna Joy. I think Brianna Joy is media or press or something. And she voted for Jill Stein. Mm-hmm. And I mean, David Sirota is just an attack dog. And so there are things about Bernie that I question and I don't understand. I'm not making any accusations, but I feel like some of these, there are other things, you know, his votes on Russia sanctions, he has never voted to sanction them. He's got excuses. There was one time where he missed a vote because he was having a meeting with his staff about sexual harassment. And of course, that meeting could have been scheduled at any time, but it just so happened to be scheduled at the time they were having this vote. So I don't, you know, I mean, I know that one of the reasons he gave for not voting for Russia sanctions was because of, and I don't remember the details, but it had something to do with, you know, how we deal with Iran. And, you know, it was him and Rand Paul. They were the only two who did not vote for sanctions. Everybody else did. So that bothers me. Mm-hmm. And I am a critical thinker. So even though I totally like Sanders' overall vision, there are things about him that bother me. But that said, and I'll just let you go in a second, I will support him. And I forgot what I was going to say now. Go ahead. Say whatever you're going to say. I'll remember.
Well, I'm with you. I mean, it's funny because people, you know, accuse me of not being a Bernie supporter. I was a Bernie supporter before it was cool. And you can ask Rick Unger because my podcast partner and I had lunch with Rick in 2009. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I said to him, I said, I wish Bernie had run in 2008. Mm-hmm. And he said, really? I don't think we'll ever, you know, did it. And it was funny. I posted that on Facebook and Rick goes, yep, I totally remember that conversation. So, you know, I was, because he was on Tom Hartman for years.
Yeah.
And so I got to listen to him and really appreciate his vision. And one thing that I don't like about how he presents himself, among many of the things that you just said, is they are going to throw the pejorative way of saying socialist at him,
which is communist,
which is exactly, and that's not what he's doing.
No,
but if he would just say he's an FDR Democrat,
yeah,
boom, problem solved.
Yeah, exactly, and it would help. I mean, it would just. The thing is that it's so unfortunate. Like he made that tweet, and I understand where he was coming from. And what's her name? Nina Turner was on Joy Reid, and it was a really good interview. And you know, Joy brought up the idea that he, you know, Sanders put out this tweet, you know, watch out Republican establishment, watch out Democrat establishment. Mm-hmm. And okay, first of all, he is part of the Democratic establishment in that he's been a part of it for such a long time.
I know.
And okay, I understand where he comes off and says, you know, okay, I'm not because I don't take money from big donors, blah, 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 blah. I don't believe the party should be going in this direction. And I get it. I mean, that's part of what drew me to him in 2016 is I totally believe, like, for instance, and I'm going to say his name wrong. Where is it? It's Anand. Do you know how to say it? It's Giridhar.
No.
I don't know how to say it, but he's fucking awesome. And he was on MSNBC and he was talking about the fact that, you know, MSNBC and the political establishment, if you will, like the pundits and all that, the journalists, they're freaking out about Bernie. And like Chris Matthews was so fucking stupid and compared that Bernie Sanders movement to Nazism. Are you kidding me?
That's just, come on, Chris, you're smarter than that.
Oh, that made me so angry.
Yeah.
And it's the idea that, and I'm with this, this is also Elizabeth Warren. It's the idea that the Democratic Party could be improved. That doesn't mean I'm attacking the Democratic Party if I believe that. It just means that I see room for improvement. I mean, when Citizens United was passed, it made it easier for corporations and, you know, big dark money to come in. So obviously so many Democrats are on board with getting rid of that for obvious reasons.
Right.
And then, you know, also there are so many legislators that spend their days outside of their offices and other offices while they're raising money and not working for the people because they have to raise money.
Right.
And that's a waste of time. You know, there's so many things that can be improved. And I don't see anything wrong with calling Democrats out for behavior that could be improved upon without demonizing them. You could say, you know, look, I don't, you know, I mean, I'm not going to tell Elizabeth Warren to not take money from a super PAC at this point when every other candidate is. She needs, you know, she can't show up to a gunfight with a fucking butter knife.
I agree. So when it came out that she was okay with this one PAC that literally formed like 2 days before the caucuses, it's like, ooh, she's been in cahoots for, she just found out about them. It's like, first off, you cannot work with a super PAC. That's against the law. So anybody can, any PAC can come out and support anybody they want as long as they're not coordinating with the candidate.
Right.
And so there will be, no matter who, if it is Bernie Sanders as the nominee, there will be PACs for him. Trust me, they will be formed.
Right, right.
And the he will benefit from that.
And if he's the nominee, frankly, I want that.
Me too. need that because, I mean, it's just insane. I have friends, and I'm looking on Twitter, and they're like, oh, if Bernie's a nominee, I'm not going to vote for him. F you.
Yeah. You know what I say to everybody now is Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Thank you.
You know, it's like, and somebody accused me of being a white feminist and not understanding. And it was like, and I think it was a black man, and I can't remember, but I just thought, you know, black people, people of color, women, whoever's not a privileged white man in this society is going to benefit from a liberal Supreme Court, no matter who it
doesn't, no kidding.
You know, and white men will also benefit, but it's like, we're all going to benefit from it. So, you know, I posted on my Facebook page and I think on Twitter that I fucking can't stand Mike Bloomberg. And I don't want to have to vote for him.
I don't want to have to vote for him either.
But I fucking will because of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You know, it's like, it's the Supreme Court. And she deserves to retire. It's not fair that she feels she has to be there because we have this crazy man. And I think I remember what I was going to say about Bernie is that, look, if he's the nominee, I need to find in my heart ways to support him. And in some ways, I can... It's easy for me because I can say, all right, like I'm not so concerned that like what concerns me is Russia. I don't know what the deal is with Russia. And because I don't know, it just makes me feel like I can't trust him and I can't pinpoint why I can't trust him. But do I think that he's in cahoots with Russia? No. Do I think that he is going to do Putin's bidding? No. But, you know, what I think with Bernie is he may not be the most effective president. And the reason I say that is because, like, I think in terms of, you know, he wants to do Medicare for all. And he was just recently interviewed on 60 Minutes. It was last night. He was asked how he was going to pay for it. He did not give a strong answer. He basically sidestepped it and said, I don't know the nickels and dimes. Whereas when Elizabeth Warren was faced with this question, you know, I thought it was wrong of her to not come out of the chute with, here it is. You know, I know we all don't like to talk about higher taxes, but let me explain it to you. Just like she explained the wealth tax. Let me explain to you in a basic way how this will save you money. I wish she would have done that, but she didn't. So she did listen to people when she refused to take on the your taxes are going to be raised. She went back to the drawing board. She came up with a plan that I think calmed some people's fears about an immediate Medicare for all, and it would be a 3-year slower transition into like the public option, which frankly I think would probably be longer than 3 years once starts.
And if you do know that when Medicare was initially passed, the idea was for it to eventually cover everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that was LBJ's plan was, look, we're going to start with people 65 and over, but eventually the entire country will be able to benefit from this health care plan. And Tom Hartman, who is way smarter than most people on the planet, said, and I agree with him, he goes, if you're going to have a public option, meaning Medicare if you want it, which is what Buttigieg says, you have to regulate it to an extent where doctors have to take it.
Yes, absolutely.
Like it's, you know, you have to take it. Otherwise, then you're going to have insurance companies dropping their prices and dropping their stuff. And people are going to buy into that, even though they're not, it's going to be catastrophic insurance all over again.
Yes.
You know, and so it has to be regulated to a sense where if you're a doctor, you must take Medicare, which would be stupid for them not to.
Right.
I don't understand any doctor that wouldn't take it because, you know, a lot of people have that and that's their only insurance. You might as well take everybody you can.
Yeah.
And that's the only way that that would make it level with insurance companies and then bring private insurance prices down or, unfortunately, for some people, price them out of the market, which would be their... We have FedEx, we have UPS, and we have the post office. They all work fine together.
Yeah, exactly. God, that's such a great point. And yeah, I mean, the thing is somebody else was arguing with me on my Facebook page because my whole take is this. You know, I mean, I say this to my father who's concerned. I mean, he's a Democrat, but he's concerned about this Medicare for All idea. And I'm like, Dad, there is absolutely no way. I don't care who it is. Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, anybody. No president is going to walk in and say, all right, Medicare for all.
Right.
It's not going to happen. What's going to happen is they're going to have to pass something through Congress. Mm-hmm. And there's no Congress, no matter how blue it is, that is going to give any president Medicare for all to start. It's going to be a compromise of the public option. I mean, just look at Obama could not get the public option in because of Democrats.
Joe fucking Lieberman.
Exactly. And, you know, but it's like Democrats stopped him from doing that. And that, you know, Democrats in red states are going to be very cautious about this. So we're going to get the public option. And, you know, somebody had said on the Facebook comment, it was like, well, Kimberly, what if, you know, don't, how can you say this? Bernie's going to get this incredibly progressive Congress and, and they're going to have to, you know, give him this thing because it's public sentiment. And I'm like, how do you know what kind of Congress he's going to get? Nobody knows what kind of Congress he's going to get. Hopefully he'll get a very blue one if he's the president. But it's like, even so, it's not going to happen right away.
People is this person like expecting it. Like in the Senate 67 AOCs and in the House 218 AOCs? Because that's not happening.
No. And so, I mean, you know, I told him, I said, because he's like, there's all these people that are going to be sick. And, you know, I said, well, they can go with the public option then. Mm-hmm. They have it. It's there. So it's like, why panic? I don't understand this. And so it's just, I mean, this whole thing with Bernie is just driving. It's making everybody crazy. And I feel like, okay, if I'm going to get behind the guy, like I was saying earlier, I don't know if he would be effective in that. Obama understands and understood what group of people to put together to come up with the Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth Warren put together a whole fucking governmental agency thing with, you know, with her programs, which is not coming to me at the top of my head, consumer protection and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. She understands how to do that. Bernie is not known for working well. In some cases, yes, but I mean, Hillary Clinton said it, and I know she got a lot of shit, but when she said that he doesn't work, that people don't like him, she was referring to people in Congress, not the enormous fan base that he's, or support base that he's built up. That's who she was referring to.
Right.
And she knows what she's talking about. You know, he can be a curmudgeon. He can be a my way or the highway type of guy with these people. And I mean, all we have to do is look at his sanction votes. You know, I mean, yeah, he was one of the senators who did not vote for the Iraq war. But I feel like, and good for him, you know, but I feel like the rest of them were handed a lie. And they voted based on the lie that there were weapons of mass destruction. And so, I mean, I'm not going to fault them for that because they were sold a bill of goods and it was not true. And that's how they, you know, decided to vote. So, I mean,
when people blamed Hillary Clinton for her vote, hi, New York senator.
Yeah, I know.
The fuck was she supposed to do with given faulty information and her state was hit?
Exactly. And so, I mean, I feel like it's just, I don't know how this is going to go. I mean, I also want to say about Bernie, you know, we're hearing from the right, specifically from Never Trumpers like Joe Scarborough and, you know, Tom Nichols and all of that crowd, that he'll never win. And frankly, I can't get behind that because, I mean, I can definitely see each candidate has vulnerability, right? Regardless of the fact that they're all polling higher, you know, like most of them are beating Trump in most of these polls.
Right.
But each one has a vulnerability, and they're up against so much more than just Donald Trump. They're up against, you know, Russian propaganda. They're up against GOP propaganda. I mean, we've got Steve Bannon said he was going to flood the zone with shit. Okay, they're doing that right now. And that's the Trump side. You know, you've got Brad Parscale and that whole deal going, and then you've got the Russians doing it. So we're up against two very strong forces in our society on social media that are literally flooding the zone with shit. And whoever is running has to fucking combat that. And I'm like, I feel like, I think Bernie has the potential to win because he will bring with him young people who usually don't vote. Now, black people, women, people over 65, he clearly, I also think he has the youth vote, but I think he also has a lot of the Gen X vote. I think that all those groups that I just mentioned, and some of those people who swear to God that they would never vote for Bernie Sanders, I think of them kind of like the Pumas, the, you know, party unity, my ass, Obama, people who hated Obama and then they voted for him and wound up loving them. I don't think they would necessarily wind up loving Bernie, but I do think they would come around.
I would hope so. I mean, I do have some friends that are older than I am that are like, I'm not sure. And it's like, dude, this is our democracy right now. This is not. It was like in 2016. I'm sorry. Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders only agree on 90% of everything.
Right.
I mean, you know, and then one of my old co-hosts, he would be like, well, you know, she's this and she's, you know, he's an outsider. No, he's not. Mm-hmm. He's been in politics his whole adult life. Mm-hmm. So don't say he's not a newcomer in this. He's a politician. And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Being a politician is not a bad thing when you want to be in politics. I'm all for it. You know, it's not denigrating Bernie Sanders for being a successful politician. That's a good thing. You know, that means he kind of knows what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's like, stop saying he's anti-establishment. And he should stop saying that, too, because if he wants to bring people in who are against him, hi, Democrats.
Yeah.
A lot of people do not like the fact that he never actually has joined the party, but is using the party to his benefit. And I'm glad that way, because otherwise if he were running as an independent, it would be way worse.
It would split the vote.
So, you know, I appreciate him joining when he wants to run for president. But still, it's like, guys, when people complained in 2016 in California about, oh, you can't vote for the Democrat if you're not in the Democratic Party. I'm sorry. I'm against open primaries.
So am I.
If you're not a member of the party, I shouldn't be able to vote for the Green Party candidate or the Republican candidate. That's not who represents me. And in California, it's interesting. If you are declared independent or a Democrat, you can vote in the Democratic Party. If you're a Green Party member or a Republican or some other party member, those are closed.
Well, that's good.
But it's interesting, don't you think? The Democrats are allowing independents to vote for their candidates, but the Republicans, the Green Party, and one other party, I forget, Libertarian maybe, are not allowing it. So I'm like, who's afraid?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's afraid in California? Not the Democrats. Don't blame us.
And we can see why, you know, I mean, I think in Nevada there was some guy who, it was Iowa or Nevada, who posed as a Democrat.
It was Nevada, I think.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I guess did he register as a Democrat and then he went back to Republican and then he voted in the caucus for Bernie? And so there, you know, there's the other thing of it coming out that Bernie is a Russian asset. Okay, asset is different than agent. Asset means they are using him, which they are. But they were using him in 2016 because, they weren't necessarily using Hillary, but they were using Bernie to pit voters against Hillary.
Absolutely.
And so what that means is it doesn't mean Bernie is colluding with Russia. It just means that they see an opportunity where the progressive wing of our party, in some cases, is very, very, very critical of our party and angry. And so they just stoke those fires, and the trolls come out, like, who are literal human beings, and they have studied us and understand our politics and understand how to, you know, make each other crazy online. And so they have the trolls pushing whatever narrative, and then real people become affected by this, and they get, you know, they don't allow their critical thinking skills to enter into it. They only go with their gut and emotion, and they start fighting. And they're so condescending. And we're so condescending to each other. We're mean to each other. We call each other names. And you're so stupid. Don't you know? This is how it is. And it's all day fucking long. And that's how they're using him.
I agree. Like when Bernie won the Nevada call, I've said publicly that I voted for Elizabeth Warren in the California primary. Yay. I'm proud to have done it. I don't take my vote away. And because she's the one that I think for right now is the person I want to be president.
Yeah, me too.
End of story. And so I voted for her happily and early, and they should have my ballot, and I will check on it later today. because you can in California. When he won the Nevada caucus, I tweeted out, congratulations to Senator Sanders. I'm still very happy with my vote. Good for him. Mm-hmm. You know, and if he gets the nomination, I'm voting for him. Mm-hmm. That's how everybody should be. Yeah. If Elizabeth Warren won the Nevada caucuses, which would have been shocking, but had she won it, I would hope that his people, but apparently a lot of his supporters would not be that magnanimous. She apparently said congratulations to Senator Sanders and he got applause at her own crowd.
Yeah. Well, they're really not very far apart when it comes to, ideology and vision. I think the reason that I support her over him, I mean, other than the things that I explained earlier, is, she just has more viable plans that she has offered and she explains them well. And I feel like, and it's certainly not because she's a woman, but I think that she's more qualified than he is. And she is a woman. And I posted the other day something about, if a man had her qualifications, without a doubt.
Oh, front, God, yeah.
Runner front runner all over.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, if Joe Biden had any of her gravitas, he would be way ahead right now.
Yeah. And oh, my God, I just got to say, wasn't it just awesome to watch her rip Mike Bloomberg apart?
I had to watch it because I was out, and so I couldn't see it.
Oh, that's right. I saw you tweeting that. Yeah.
But then I watched it later and I was like, oh.
And that I knew, and I said that day. The day of, I said something like, we're going to see how, because she's going to, I knew they were all going to go after Bloomberg, and they all did. But I knew that this would show us how she could go after Trump. And I know even I was concerned about, all right, how is she going to handle Trump? Is she going to be, I explained one time, she'd be like the Mrs. Rogers. He would be like the big, Jabba the Hutt, and she would be like Mrs. Rogers. So I take that back. Now after seeing how she handled herself with Bloomberg, and I know a lot of people didn't like it. They didn't like her behavior, but I feel like men can get away with behavior like that and get applauded. Mm-hmm. And women who go after people, especially men, especially sexist, especially men who have, issues of race, saying racist and doing racist things, women take a lot more shit for it. And so obviously she did. She took some shit for it because people didn't like the ugliness of the primaries.
A friend of mine who is he was a Bernie supporter. I'm not sure he's going to support him now for the same kind of reasons that you enumerated. And I posted, hey, I'd missed that, but man, I heard she was fantastic. Even happier with my vote. And my friend wrote on Facebook, and it was a guy and he's 70. And he was like, oh, there was a little much. And it's like, dude, no, it's about time that men like Bloomberg and Weinstein, to name another, and others get their comeuppance when it comes to that behavior in particular. Now, did I hear right? Is he going to release the women from NDAs?
Not all. There was a very carefully worded email. Tweet that they had his team, the LP or whatever, had discovered three of the NDAs that had women silenced. And then he said something like, if you're a woman who's, under an NDA, please contact us. So according to him, basically, it was name calling or saying things that women didn't like, and he didn't necessarily want them to repeat. I know there was discrimination suits against him. So, I will applaud him if all these women who are on under NDAs, if they get out of their NDAs because of what Warren did, I applaud him for doing it. But who made him do it? Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Warren. No exactly. one else. He and then yeah. Joe Biden backed her up. And that mm-hmm. was, I was so happy to see him do that. And the other mm-hmm. thing that I was really happy about, I mean, a lot of people didn't like this primary or this debate because they thought it was, you know, everybody was debating. I didn't really think it was mean-spirited. I thought that they went after each other on policy, but this was an extremely important debate. And, mm-hmm. you know, whoever, and clearly Elizabeth Warren was the winner of this particular debate. But they all have to go after each other to say, hey, I'm the better version, and here's why. So I don't know what people, you know, I pointed this out. In 2008, Hillary and Barack were going at it, and yep. he called her Annie Oakley because of her stance on guns. Mm-hmm. And then what did he do? He made her his Secretary of State. So this is the way debates work. This is the way primaries work. I mean, they mm-hmm. what are you expecting, a love fest? And this is an extremely volatile time in America. So of course I expected them to do this, and I was like, I was having the best fucking time during that debate. And what I really appreciated was, even though, you know, Warren and Biden would maybe go at it or whatever, They always kind of, even with Bernie, I think Buttigieg and Bernie, who definitely have a bit of an adversarial relationship, found time to kind of laugh amongst mm-hmm. themselves about whatever it was, and they made a joke. So they were going after each other, but they also showed a sense of camaraderie within that core group. And then they were just like, fuck you, Bloomberg.
all of them. And people are arguing the fact that, yes, Bloomberg was a Democrat until 2001, people. Mm-hmm. But he's been a Republican ever since, until this year.
Yeah.
And so, and he was always a centrist Democrat anyway. Mm-hmm. The things I agree with him on are climate change, obviously, a women's right to choose, obviously, and guns.
Yeah.
Those I agree with him on. Everything else I don't. And I will bite everything in my body if he is the nominee. But I never thought he was going to be the nominee.
Yeah, I don't think he will. I think for like a split second, I thought it was possible. And it was just because I really didn't know too much about him. And all I saw was that he was, you know, I'm really glad that he's funding down ticket Democrats. But
absolutely.
As Chris Hayes pointed out, a big reason he's doing that, and I'm grateful for it, but he wants those endorsements. You know, it's and then the thing that I also don't like is, because he's buying his way in, part of buying your way in means I don't have to go on any interviews. So all you have to see of me are my ads telling you how great I am. I don't have to answer any questions. I don't have to come, you know, no hard questions for me. Here's great Mike Bloomberg, and I'm paying for all the Democrats. Pick me. It reminds me of Ross Perot. Like, remember on Saturday mm-hmm. Night Live, Dana Carvey did Ross Perot, and I'm going to hatch at this, but I just remember like Dana Carvey going, I'm going to pay for it. I'll pay for mm-hmm. it. Like mm-hmm. every answer to any question was, I'll pay for it. And so Mike Bloomberg is kind of pulling that in. And I think that, you know, he would also be a risk. Like the one thing that I think are similar about Bloomberg and Bernie, obviously they're very different ideologically, but my concern is that they won't be great presidents, and that it would be easier to beat them in 2024. Mm-hmm. And we'll either be facing, and this is going to happen no matter who's president, Elizabeth Warren or Bernie or Biden or whoever, I think it's either going to be somebody like Don Jr. Mm-hmm. or Mitt Romney. And it will really just depend on, I think Mitt will run, but but it's like, where's the party going to go? Are they going to get more crazy, or are they going to rein it in after, like, if Trump is definitely knocked out of, you know, office in the first 4 years, and God only knows how he's going to behave in that lame duck session.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've always had a theory. If he loses the election, he'll just leave. He'll take his ball and go home.
Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it?
You know, I mean, because he can't handle losing.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, if Bernie were to get in, and we say we're lucky enough to get a 52 or 53 person majority in the Senate, more would be better, but we'd mm-hmm. be lucky with 52, and then a majority in the House. If he doesn't get everything that he claims he wants to get done, mm-hmm. if he can't get that done, his core people are going to turn on him.
Yeah, they will, because they did it with Obama.
Yeah.
That's what people do. That's how voters are. It's like they all of a sudden expect you to be a miracle worker. I mean, I keep trying to remind people, presidents don't wave magic wands and create. I mean, yes, they can be behind and back legislation. And
absolutely.
Like
they
Obama.
Can use their power. Yeah. They can use their power and their influence to, you know, guide a Senate vote or guide a House vote. But it boils down to the House and Senate pass legislation. They have to make that work between the two houses.
Yeah.
And then they send it to the president, who may or may not sign it into law. And so it's like, guys, executive orders don't last longer than the presidential terms. Mm-hmm. So, and most things can't be done that way.
Right. And, you know, and as this primary goes on, and it does look like, I mean, I think anything can happen because we've got 47 more states. And as you said, how many, is it 4,000?
It's you need a little over 1900 delegates mm-hmm. to be the pledged delegates to be considered the winner. Now, if they get less than that, that's when the second voting will. But so far, since we've had superdelegates since, what, the mid-70s mm-hmm. Or the early 80s, not once have they not voted for the person that got the most pledged delegates. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And
I highly doubt, even if it's a plurality, say Sanders gets 48% of that or 47% or whatever. Mm-hmm. If he gets that many, trust me, the superdelegates are going to vote for the guy that got the most delegates. Plus, there might be a coalition put together where Elizabeth Warren says to her delegates, hey, go vote for Bernie. And then, mm-hmm. boom, he's got the pledged delegates.
Right. Right. And then what was I going to say? I think that with... why do I keep forgetting everything I'm going to say? You know what? I told you, like, before we started, I think before we even started, I told you my mind is, like, going a million miles a minute today, and I don't know how to rein it in.
Did you have too much caffeine?
No. Well, you know, I did take something called guarana. I don't know how to say guarana.